Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. B. Richard Ferguson.
We left off last time in a discussion of Jeremiah 2, where God rebukes the people for committing two horrific sins. Yesterday we covered sin number one. Today, let's look at sin number two. We've been learning about the definition of coveting. You know you're coveting something when you will sin to get it, or you sin when you don't get it. That's part of the definition. But there's one more very important aspect. It's about what you're looking to get from that thing. That's what sin number two is all about, and that's our topic for today.
Do you believe that if you were to succeed in your effort to draw near to God, your soul would go from being dried up to being refreshed and renewed and strengthened? Do you believe that your soul would go from being sad and discouraged to being joyful and motivated? Do you think of God that way, that your soul would go from being bored and empty to being full and passionate if you experienced His presence? You would go from feeling restless and lost to feeling secure and safe and healthy and strong. If you believe all that, you must, because it's true. And it's not true of anything in this world. There's no other water. There is no other water. Video games can't do it. Music won't do it. Friends can't do it. Family can't do it. Work can't do it. Sex can't do it. Food can't do it. But God's presence can do it. Only God's presence. And not only can God's presence do it, it always does. 100%. Always, always. It never doesn't work. And God just really wants us to understand that, so He keeps repeating it. In Psalm 36, He is the storehouse of food and a river of delights that satisfies both high and low among men. In Isaiah 58, He is the feast that satisfies those who call His holy day a delight instead of doing it as they please. In John chapter 6, He is the real bread and the real drink that satisfies the souls of all who come to Him. In Isaiah 55, He is the milk and the wine and the bread offered for free that satisfies so much more than the bread that's not really bread. In Proverbs 9, He is wisdom's banquet that's so superior to folly's banquet. In Psalm 63, He is the richest of foods that thrills the heart of David. In Psalm 34, He is the delicacy that our souls crave if we would just taste and see. In Psalm 42, He's the stream of water that David panted for like a thirsty deer. And in John 4, He's the source of living water that satisfies forever and will well up inside you to eternal life. Whenever you feel those down emotions, that's your soul saying, I need a drink. I need a drink. And what do you do when your soul needs a drink? What do you do? Just ask yourself, where do I run? Wherever you run to the TV, you run to the refrigerator, you run to your friends, where do you run? That's what your soul thinks is water. That's what your soul thinks is water. Now, with all that background, and let me just add this about God. Whenever you eat a meal and enjoy it, whenever you drink water and it's refreshing, or you drink something that's refreshing, anytime you enjoy food or drink, that's the purpose of that should be to remind ourselves, this is what God is like spiritually, this is what God is like. Do that multiple, how many times you eat and drink in a day? That's how many times we should be reminded of this. Such an important thing. Okay, so with all that background, let's look again at sin number one, verse 13. They have forsaken me the spring of living water. That was sin number one. So these Israelites, their souls got thirsty. They had desires, they had cravings, they had longings to fulfill their appetite for happiness. And they didn't look to God to satisfy that. That was sin number one. They didn't look to God as the water. What did they do instead? Instead, they committed sin number two. They dug their own cisterns. A cistern, again, the metaphor. What does a cistern represent? It represents any other water source besides God. Anything else that you look to satisfy the cravings of your soul. If it's not God, it's a broken cistern and it cannot hold water. That's what he says. It won't work. It won't satisfy. But when you look to something else besides God to satisfy the thirst of your soul, that is a massive, universe rattling sin. In the context of Jeremiah 2, it's in the discussion of idolatry. Looking to something besides God for your happiness and satisfaction is idolatry. Why? Because it's putting something else in the place of God. That's what idolatry is. See, this kind of desire is an act of worship. Anytime you desire something this way, you are worshiping that thing that you desire. And so Scripture calls it idolatry. God alone is the water. God alone can satisfy the cravings of the human soul. You put anything else in that place, you're putting something in the place of God. Looking to something to satisfy the thirst of your soul besides God is an act of worship. Lots of people claim that they worship the Lord Jesus Christ as God, but the true God of your life is whatever that thing is that you run to when your soul gets thirsty. That's the God of your life. It's great for me to enjoy my wife. It's great for me to desire my wife. But if I go to her when my soul gets thirsty, I've just turned her into an idol. I've just turned her into, and I've committed adultery against God. And I've set myself up for a whole lot of anger and a whole lot of conflict in our marriage when she turns out to be a broken cistern that cannot hold water because she's not God. It's not fair to look to someone as water. That's why we have anger and fights and quarrels. We're looking to each other as water. It's perfectly okay for you to enjoy entertainment. It's perfectly okay for you to watch movies, listen to music, video games, vacations. You go to those things to get your joy back when you're discouraged or bored or sad or empty or dry. You're looking to those things as water. That's adultery. You're committing adultery against God. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to feel empty and dry. You're going to go and play Halo 5. It's not going to quench the thirst of your soul. And you're going to walk away as grumpy as can be. Why are you in such a grumpy mood after playing your favorite game? For an hour. It's because you went to that game for water, and it's not water. And when your soul is thirsty and you drink something that's not water, that makes your soul mad. When it's supposed to be water and it doesn't quench, that makes your soul mad. That's why we get into fights. Okay? So do you feel like you understand now what a covetous desire is? Three things. It's any desire that makes you mad when you don't get it. It's any desire that grows up out of the soil of a me first, everything must go according to my plan, my preferences, attitude. And number three, it's any desire that commits adultery against God by looking to that thing to satisfy the cravings of your soul instead of God. Okay? And it's absolutely crucial that we understand that it's not just those first two in the definition. It's the third one as well. That third one is critical. If all we do is look at the first two, we leave God out of the picture, then we're not going to have the right solution to the problem.
When we feel the thirst of the soul, we get depressed or dry or empty, unsatisfied, restless, our idolatrous hearts naturally think things like, oh, if I had a more meaningful job, then I wouldn't feel so empty. Or if my marriage were better, I wouldn't be so depressed. If only I could do something fun, then I would have more joy. Or if I had the money I need, or if I didn't have these health problems, or if I could just get some sleep, or if I had a good friend. Most days, it's really just as simple as, if I watch some TV, I'll feel better. Or maybe you don't think anything. You just mindlessly wander over to the refrigerator and look to see what joy-producing goodies might be available in there. All those things will make you feel good in some shallow way, but none of them can give you the kind of satisfaction your soul needs. The only true water and food for your soul's cravings is the presence of God. And any earthly thing we look to for that purpose is an idol, because it's in the place of God when it comes to satisfying our souls. What are the idols of your heart? Where do you run for fulfillment? when you identify them, repent of them, and talk to God about how you might seek after Him today to satisfy those hunger and thirst pains.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, get our free mobile app. Install the Church One app from the Play Store and select Food for Your Soul. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.